Do you like paying taxes? Do you like paying taxes? Okay. I mean, because today's gospel, that is what they try to get out of paying tax. That's what they wanted to do. And they try to get Jesus involved into it, because nobody likes paying taxes. So they wanted to see if Jesus would find a way out of it. Should we pay the tax to Caesar, to the Roman Empire, to the government, or not? Jesus is a very wise God. So he asks them to give him the money. And he tells them, no, whose image is that? It's Caesar. So give to Caesar what belongs to him. But then suddenly Jesus says something that has nothing got to do with tax. He says something that has nothing got to do with their question. He tells them, and give God to belongs to God. When nobody asked him if they had to give God anything. You know, God is in the habit of changing our questions in life. When you walk with Christ, you start with one thing, but you end up with another. For example, once they told him, who is my neighbor? He didn't tell them who is the neighbor. He told them how you act as a neighbor. Another time they asked him, how many will be saved? He didn't answer it. He told them what to do in order to be saved. You know, with God, you start with one thing, you end up with another thing. At what you end up is much more better than what you were seeking in the first place. And today the Lord is showing us something which is really beautiful. When he told us, give back to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God so that we can give it back to him? What do you think belongs to God so that we can give it back to him? Because that's what Jesus told us at the end of the gospel. Well, we have to do what Jesus said. Give me the image. Give me the money. Whose image is that? Because you give to Caesar where his image is. So you give to God where his image is. And you know where his image is? Genesis 1, 26, 27. It's the greatest thing the Bible says about each and every human being. That you, you've been created in the image and likeness of God. So when Jesus is telling us, give God what belongs to God, it means give humanity back to God. And what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. What does it mean to be created in the image and likeness of God? Because we have to know that, brothers and sisters. Because it is the key to our life, to our existence, to our happiness. Being created in the image and likeness of God means that all of us, have two basic needs in life, which are to love and to be loved. Because God is love. Being created in the image of God means that in your heart, you have a desire to be loved in life. And in your heart, you have a desire to love somebody. These are our two basic needs, which are more basic to anything else. You know, the Lord has given me the grace to travel the world, literally, to announce the good news, to preach the gospel in various countries around the globe. But everywhere I go, I always meet human beings who want to be loved and who desire to love somebody. Because that's what it means to be created in the image of God, who is love. Now, when Jesus is telling us, give humanity back to God, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, look at each other. Look at the human race. Look at each and everybody as someone who needs to be loved and someone who desires to love. Because many times, that is what we don't do. Look at the wars that we have within the world. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, in Nigeria, Boko Haram, Hamas, all these terrorist groups. We don't look at each other as somebody who needs to be loved and somebody that needs to love. Many times we look at each other, someone that I want to dominate the other. Somebody I want to control. I look at someone else to satisfy my own needs. Look, the plague of pornography we have in today's world. You use other people just to satisfy your sexual desire with no contact with anybody else. It's just virtual, fictitious. You're just using, instrumentalizing other people. You don't look at someone else as somebody who needs to love and needs to be loved. And many times that can happen. happen also in marriage, when we instrumentalize others for my own satisfaction. You know, the worst thing that can happen in married life is to feel alone. Because nobody gets married to be alone. You get married so you're not alone. But when that desire that somebody loves you and the desire to love someone else is not satisfied, you're not treating the other as a human being. I think the greatest poverty that we have in the West is not the poverty I've seen in Africa and other countries. The poverty we have in the Western world is the poverty of loneliness. So many people who could be rich, but they are empty in their hearts. They are not living in the fullness of being in the image of God. Why? Because everything becomes self-centered. You know, the new trinity in the world is I, me, and myself. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the I, me, and myself. It's the modern trinity, which is leaving us empty in our hearts. So what can we do, brothers and sisters, that we might truly give God what belongs to God? I think the first thing we need to do is to change the way we look at each other. Let us even, starting from this Eucharist, until you come back for the next Mass or the next celebration you will have, the next service you will have, just starting from today when you go back to your family, tomorrow when you go back to work, the way you look at people, just look at them from this perspective, and you'll be giving them back to God. You're giving them back their dignity. The highest dignity you can have on earth is not what the government gives you. It's not what the state gives you. It's not what law gives you. The highest dignity is what God gives you. And the highest respect we can have towards each other is when we respect the way God has created us. Start and looking at each and everybody He's seeking to be loved. You know, I don't know how you lived COVID. I lived COVID in prison. For 2 whole months, I lived in prison in Malta. And one thing I desired with criminals and hardcore criminals, I came out of prison with this conviction. What is sin? Sin is seeking love in the wrong place. Sin is seeking joy in the wrong place. Sin is seeking peace in the wrong place. Because even criminals, when we sin, when I sin, what do? We're seeking love, joy, and peace in the wrong place. Because that's who we are. We are seekers of love, seekers of joy, seekers of peace. So when you see somebody doing a mistake, don't judge him. Don't condemn him. See what he's seeking in life. See what your children are seeking. It's very easy to say, well, that's wrong, we shouldn't do it. Be deeper. See what you're looking at, what the other person is seeking. What are people seeking when they take drugs, when they take alcohol, when they watch pornography? They're seeking love, joy, and peace in the wrong place. When you start looking at others from what they seek, you start seeing them differently. When you look at what they do, you will judge them. When you look at what they seek, you will have compassion in them and enter into a journey. So one way how giving back humanity God to God is just looking at others from what they're seeking, even when they do the wrong thing. I mean, if you commit adultery, what do? You're seeking love in the wrong place, outside your marriage. But you're seeking love in the wrong place. Giving back humanity to God is seeking the right thing. Jesus once told us, seek and you will find, but you need to seek in the right thing. It's useless going to hunting for birds in the sea, you won't find them. It's useless going to find fish in the air, you won't find it. Seek what you can find and you will find. But if you seek in the wrong place, you look for trouble, man. That's what it means to give humanity back to God. Let us seek where God has created us to seek, that we will truly find. Another thing, with what it means to give back God what belongs to Him. Brothers and sisters, the only person that can fulfill our deepest desire to be loved is the person of Jesus Christ. Nobody, not even your husband, your wife, and your children, can fulfill your heart 100%. No one will. Because the man you have married, hi, I have good news about him, he's a sinner. The woman you have married, she's a sinner. Your children that you adore are sinners. Your priests are religious are sinners. We are all sinners. It means we miss it. No? Sin in Greek is hamartia. You know what it means, hamartia? It's like when you play darts and you don't get a bullseye. You just go around, around, around the circles, but you miss it. We all miss the target, which is God. It's love. So none of us is perfect. There is a degree of egoism in each and every one of us, starting from myself. So nobody can give you the perfect love you are seeking. What's happening in today's world, since we are not finding that love really in Jesus Christ, then we expect a lot from everybody. And nobody will satisfy you 100%, man. Nobody will do that. Giving back to God what belongs to God. Let's go back as a humanity as God intended it to be. The only person that can truly fulfill me 100%, the only one, is the person of Jesus Christ. So do yourself a favor in believing this truth, in opening your heart to the depths of your soul, and ask Jesus to fill you really with his love. You know, we risk as a church nowadays, it's a great risk, of transforming Christianity into an ideology. What does that mean? Because we see people perhaps not believing, not coming to church, whatever denomination they belong to. When we see politicians legislating laws which are against God, against the Christian faith, against the true human values, we can propose a Christianity to counteract that, but it becomes politics. It becomes ideology. It's not anymore about a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a living encounter with the person of Jesus. It's not really coming to know how much I am deeply and unconditionally loved by him. So this is what it means giving humanity back to God. Not observing right rules immediately. Going back to a heartfelt love experience. Not how much we love him. How much we accept to be loved by him. How much we allow him to love us. During this week, find some time for what we call prayer. Which is simply this. Surrender yourself to love. Believe that you are loved. And ask Jesus to fill your hearts completely with his love. When I experienced that at the age of 13, it gave me a completely new dimension in my love. Christianity is not about observing rules. It's about allowing yourself to be loved by Jesus and then loving back with his own life. This is authentic humanity created in the image of God. And this is the mission that the church is asking us today on this Mission Sunday. What is mission all about? What does it mean to be a missionary? A little girl, her name is Teresa, taught me that when I was in Africa, in Kenya. I was outside of Nairobi. There were about 20,000 street children. And we did some band bells for them. And afterwards, we were distributing some fruits, sweets. You know, and children go mad for sweets, so do I. And they had these sweets, very simple. And this Teresa, I remember, she came. She took the sweet out of the plastic. She tasted it. She put it back in the plastic. And she went away. And she caught my attention. I told her, Teresa, where are you going? She told me, Father, my brother is sick. He's not here. I would like him to give him the sweet. I said, no, you can have it, Teresa. I have another one. I can give you this sweet for your brother. She told me, no, Father Hayden. I would like that my brother tastes the same sweet I tasted. That is mission. That is evangelization. If you have experienced the love of God in your heart and in your life, you want others to experience what you have experienced. If you have experienced Jesus truly alive, you want others to experience him as alive. It's not a law. It's not obligation. It comes from the heart. Because when you take something good, you just cannot keep it to yourself. The problem with us in the church, that many times we speak a lot about Jesus Christ, but we haven't experienced him enough. We haven't come to that one-to-one touch and encounter with him, which is possible. Jesus is either alive or dead. There is no middle way. He either rose from the dead or he hasn't. And if he's alive, it means you can meet him. I can eat him. I can experience him. You can experience him. It means that the world can experience him. But it starts like that, by us having a real encounter with him. We can desire that. We can ask him for that. We're going to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. He's truly present in the Eucharist. I've seen Jesus healing people in the power of the Eucharist, doing great things, because he's truly alive. And when you meet him, you just cannot keep him to yourself. That's what it means to be a missionary. All the other things we do are secondary. All the good things, helping the poor, are all secondary. The main thing is sharing the love you have experienced. How beautiful it is, brothers and sisters. If during this week, in all simplicity, in our daily life, doing all the things you did last week, when you go back to your family and to work, nothing is going to change. Things are the same. But if you meet Jesus, you will change. Situations won't change, but you will. You can bring a new experience of God. You can bring a new experience of love. If you truly taste his love, your circumstances will change, because you will bring this love back again, or in a deeper way, in your marriage, in your life, in your work, in your friendships. You know, God's love flows through our love. It's not disincarnate. God's love, the love of Jesus, tomorrow has to shine through your eyes. It has to be on your face. It has to be on your smile. It has to be on the way you speak, the way you will approach people, the way you look at them, the way you treat them, the way they mistreat you, and you smile at them back. That is the reason, Lord, deep within us. This is possible because Jesus is alive. This is what it means. Give God what belongs to God. Let's give God back the humanity as he intended it to be, and not the humanity we are creating and destroying. It's your choice. You're called to decide today on which part you will live your life. Will you give God what belongs to God? Or will you continue to be, or will you be part of this world that is not giving humanity back to God, but is destroying it? It depends on you, and it starts now.